Joining me today, I have President of Howard Community College, Kate Hetherington. And we're going to talk about, you know, community college education, HCC's response to COVID-19, and many other things, really. I last time I was with you, Kate, we were in studio, we were at HCC, and we were talking, we were celebrating, you know, one of HCC's latest recognitions. And today, it's a very different conversation, but I think it's still much, very, very much celebrates, you know, the value of education, celebrates all the effort that HCC has done through this time of COVID-19. And it empowers us to know that even though we are home, we still have a great, great option to further education, to take advantage of this maybe slower times and just, you know, move forward in education or personally, you know, maybe some classes that we wanted to take before and we didn't have the time for it. This might be a great opportunity to do all of that. And you know, COVID-19 came out of nowhere, suddenly arrived, took everybody by surprise. And I think it's a good place to start a conversation just by, you know, going back to that and kind of take a look back onto what HCC has been doing during this pandemic. And I just want to start by thanking you and welcoming you to the show today.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for having me. And thanks for making the adjustment even in your show, because this isn't the way we saw each other last time. The college was celebrating the Malcolm Baldrige Award. That's the national award for excellence. We're the only, the third community college ever in the history of the awards, which have been given out since the 1980s, to have received it. And that's a testament to the work of our faculty and staff and our board of trustees in providing our students with the best education possible. So it was different then, that's for sure. And here we are. Taken by surprise is a good way to put it. But I have to say, when we knew that we were going to have to shift gears and pivot like we've never done before, from what we were doing at the start of the spring semester to where we are now, which we're in you know, finals week. Classes ended on the 12th. We're in the midst of finals now. We'll be finishing the semester May 19th. And I have to first begin by acknowledging the incredible work that the faculty and staff have done over this period of time to ensure that our students were able to receive not only their education, but all the services that we typically would provide. And I also have to acknowledge the students, because many of them had to make a change. You know, pretty much everybody had been using the Canvas, our learning management system, but not many of them had had that online experience or the remote teaching experience. And, you know, while some students, it was more of an adjustment than others, some students have said they preferred it. Some faculty have said they preferred it because they are able to you know, reach out to students in particular to, you know, for the quieter students, get their feedback and their input. So, you know, it's been a challenge. And so March 12th was when we basically canceled classes so faculty could get the instructions, the professional development they needed to make that transition. And then we moved up spring break, so we were off then. So we really didn't come on board fully until March 30th. And so during that time, with all that training that was being done, and I have to give a shout out to Megan Myers and Amy Chase Martin for the incredible work that they did to make sure that our faculty were prepared. So we transitioned. So what else did we do? We made sure that people had the appropriate equipment. So we were, for our faculty, staff, and students, providing computers, laptop computers, hotspots for those who did not have good connections, working with our service provider. They were able to give them a discount for the service that they would have for internet service. So, and then we, of course, have continued to provide aid to students. We just are in the process of distributing probably close to $1 million from the Stimulus CARES Act for financially needy students, those students that met the qualifications. Those checks will be going out next week for the students that qualify. And so, you know, and then keeping up with how everything has changed. You know, this is, I said to, I meet with my team, the president's team, daily, and we meet for a few hours every day. because things are so changing so rapidly. And I said, sometimes it's like trying to grab hold of Jell-O, because just when you think you have something set up, it's like the rules change or the guidance has changed. And so I just came off from a meeting with the Maryland Higher Education Commission, and we were talking about the governor's first phase of reentry and the impact that that has on higher education. So every single day you're learning more, and that's one of the reasons why I meet with members of my team, because as you learn more, that affects what you're going to do. So it's been a challenge. I think some other things that have, I keep going back to the silver linings, looking at the positive things from this. I think it's forced us to look at, you know, we won the national award for, you know, among other things, our business processes, but it's really helped us, being a Baldrige winner, has helped us look at those processes and say, you know, are there things that we maybe even going forward to after this is all over, should we be doing differently? Should we refine what we're doing? And so there are many good things that have happened, like things that we hadn't done before, for example, with counseling. Now we do telecounseling, like hospitals are doing telemedicine. We really hadn't done that routinely before. But for some students, that might be a good thing for them after we come back to what I call the new normal. So there's some positive things that have happened as well.
You know, and I really appreciate what you just said, because that's been a question in my mind through this entire time. It's like, okay, you know, we've been challenged as a society to start doing things differently, right? But there's a lot of good things that has come out from this, you know, flexibility, as you were saying, things that before when you even mentioned them, the doors were totally closed. It was like, nope, we can't do that. We were not really ready to even look at those options. And, you know, overnight, we had to implement and open the door to many of that. And that has allowed, I think, for, as you were saying, you know, in the case of our students, flexibility, more understanding maybe, you know, for that single parent who wants to further their education but has to juggle home and kids and work and everything else. So those options, and I love that you guys are already looking into how, you know, some of the things that we're doing because of COVID, how can we incorporate them as we move forward and we reopen, whatever that means, mm-hmm. as we're learning right now, you know, can we continue to serve in more, I don't know what the right word would be, maybe more understanding, because I think that something COVID has really brought up to everybody is more awareness and understanding of some of the challenges that we have that before we just live with and we kind of push through, whereas now they have really come, you know, all of the walls have come down and we've been able to see people at a different level. And I really appreciate that about COVID-19. And I appreciate that you guys are taking all of that data and all of that information and all the feedback from employees, from students, from staff, from faculty, and not just looking at, okay, we're only going to do this for the next 3 months and then we go back to business as normal, but we're actually, you know, what can we keep that will help us connect better with our students and everybody who we interact with and serve them even better, which I think it's a quality that I've always seen, you know, at HCC. It's as a student, when I was a student there myself, you know, really trying to understand where I wanted to go with my degree, what I wanted to do with my career as I was choosing my classes and my challenges. I was already a mom and I was working. And so some of the classes I wanted to take were not available. So looking for, you know, the best next thing or how maybe in the summer you can take that so you can adjust your schedule. And that's always been part of the spirit at HCC that I've encountered either as a student or as an employee. So talking exactly about, you know, ways to support, you know, through these times, I know you mentioned about telecounseling. What are other things that the HCC is continuing to do to support and connect with students through these times?
Well, because we are restricted from having people on campus, we provide the technology to our employees so that they can actually, and I won't go into great detail about it, but it's almost like they could have their work telephone available through their cell phone. And so they're able to contact students without revealing their personal information about their own cell phone. So it looks like HCC is calling. But when students are inquiring about enrolling for classes for either the summer or the fall, or if we get information, say, within their financial aid application, we need to follow up. Of course, we have the students' email accounts, and we communicate with our students strictly through their own the HCC email account rather than like a Gmail or something like that. So that's one of the things that we're doing. The other thing is, I mentioned that the computers that we made available, we're allowing students who receive one of those computers during the spring semester to hold on to it as long as they let us know that they've registered for summer or fall semester. So rather than bringing it back in and then, you know, logging that all out and exposing people, we're saying if you're registered and paid for the summer or fall semester, you can hold on to that computer and still continue our hotspot, whatever we gave you. So I think that's something that, you know, we're trying to do to serve students. The financial aid office has done an incredible job of looking at students' financial situations because, you know, you have students who might have applied with last year's information, which could be income information, which could be completely different from what it is now. So the financial aid office is able to, it's called professional judgment. There is a process that they have, it's a federal process, where they can look at what your current situation is, and then your financial aid eligibility would be based on that. So if you lost your job, you're trying to get unemployment, or you've received unemployment, the financial aid office can help you, or if you're a parent that has to fill out this application for your child or help them fill it out, we can help. The financial aid office is trained and ready to help students to have that reevaluation occur. So money is available for students who qualify, who maybe in the past, this past year, would not have qualified. I think the other thing I've heard faculty do is because they have this ability to have access to students differently, they're really taking care of the students, not only through the educational piece of it, but also they're demonstrating compassion by saying, you know, let me know how I can help you. Are you okay? They're checking in. I think it's taking the education, the valuable education that we've offered, to a different level where it's become more personal, more humane, more aware of the stresses that people are dealing with. And so I think for the faculty, from what I've heard, it's really helped them even more so appreciate what our students are going through. And our students, thank goodness, we have such incredibly compassionate faculty that will help them and guide them if they need that, you know, any kind of assistance. So, you know, when you look at where we are in terms of where we were back in March, I go back to that statement you made earlier about, you know, in the past, people would say, oh, no, we can't do this, that, or the other thing. Although that's not too much at HCC, because we're like, you know, the other way. We're like, okay, give us a challenge, we'll do it. But, you know, there are some things, I mean, all of us, you know, if you're like, well, if you don't really have to do it, well, the things that we have had to do, you really have had to do it in order to survive. It's just like recently when I was talking to our faculty and staff at our augmented meeting, I said, you know, this is enrollment at the college is everybody's job, not just the enrollment services job. It's everybody's job. That means we offer the best quality teaching, the best services that we can. We always look for ways of making improvements. We're reaching out to our community through social media, everything that's possible. We're trying to make sure that students are aware of that we're here, that their families know that we're here, and we're here to serve. That's what we're about. We're here to serve.
And I can attest to that, you know, that definitely HCC is here to serve, and not only serve, but here to help. And it's here as, you know, just for my personal experience, something I did not quite honestly expect to see happen is that people have emailed me, people have sent me messages through social media, you know, as I've been doing this live shows and talking to different people who really have a lot of different resources and services available for people going through time. So I talked to, you know, the Community Action Council and a couple of other institutions that are really firsthand helping people in this situation with food and other resources. And something I did not expect to see, and I was pleasantly surprised, I have to say, is that people have been reaching out personally to me and saying, where can I go for help? Where can I go for food? Where can I go for this? Where can I go for that? And taking, you know, that message and that experience I've had through HEC as a student, as an employee, I've then extended, you know, that help and said, you know what, I don't have the resources. I don't have, you know, that I have the information, and here's a number, and here's a website, and here's where you can go. And as a student, that was my experience at HEC, you know, where I came in and I said, I want to study television and radio. I want to do this. I want to do that. But I have kids and I work. And it was like, okay, well, if you have kids, you know, we have the Children's Learning Center, right? And maybe you can bring them here. If that's not an option for you for whatever reason, here's the information for Head Start. Here's the information for this. Here's the information for that. So it extends, you know, HC extends that net and that helping hand to everybody who comes in. It's not, as you were saying, Kate, yes, we're all looking to help the college with enrollment, but with the understanding of that we really want people to come and enroll at HEC because we really truly believe that it's a great environment, you know, an environment where you can thrive, an environment where you can seriously learn. I mean, some of the best classes that I ever took were at HEC, and I don't say that because I work there. I really have always said that if I could have gotten my 4-year degree at HEC, I would have. Like, I never wanted to leave HEC, you know, so much so that I'm working there. So it's, you know, it's really more than numbers. It's really more than, you know, it's not a sales pitch. It's really, you know, my experience really allows me to freely and honestly say, if you want to get a good quality education and you want a supportive environment and you want to just be able to thrive and have teachers who care not just about your grades and your learning, but also you as a person, HEC really is a place to come. Like, really, HEC is where you want to go. And I know that we shared last time we talked a little bit about our experiences and a little bit of your passion for community colleges. I, you know, being an immigrant, I didn't know the difference between a community college and a 4-year school, because that's not something that necessarily exists in my country. You just have 4-year schools. But you understood them. You are a community college graduate yourself, and you've always, all of your career has been around community colleges. So I really want to take a little bit of time to talk about that and, you know, where that passion of yours comes from. And you know, when you had to make the decision here, when you graduated, you know, what made you decide to go to a community college?
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, thank you for saying that. And I, just before I go on to my background, you mentioned the Community Action Council as a place for people in our community to get food. It's our food bank is there. And the only way that the college can do what it needs to do to serve our community is through partnerships. So we work closely with the Community Action Council, with the Maryland Food Bank. In fact, you know, we had a food pantry that we had to close once we closed the school, but we're doing the appropriate referral. And then we also surveyed our students and received, you know, trying to think how many, well, it's probably thousands of responses from students to let us know. We said, well, what is it that we can do for you? What is the, you know, what, how can we serve you? What do you need? Some students respond and they said, no, I'm fine, you know, but thanks for asking. And then others were like, well, you know, I need to know where I can go to find out about food. That was, you know, one that we would hear. And so we had that appropriate referral that we could. Or someone might say, I, you know, had enough money to pay for spring classes, but I need money for the summer classes. So how can you help me there? So, and what we did is we took those survey results from the students that responded and actually had teams of people remotely working to contact the students to show how we could help. So I think that's indicative of what we do to ensure that when someone comes here as a student, we take care of the whole student, the whole package. It's not like just sitting in a classroom, although that's important, and getting an education. You know, our service to students goes beyond the classroom. It's everything else that students need to be successful. And whether that's tutoring, by the way, we're still doing tutoring for students. All of our functions that support the educational piece of the in-classroom experience, all those services are still continuing. I mean, there's a few exceptions, like, you know, athletics, that's not possible. But student life is really thriving in this remote model. I mean, they have emails going to students, they have presentations that are being done, very impressive work that they're doing. So I'll switch gears a little bit to my background to answer the question. And yes, I am a community college graduate. I graduated from Community College of Philadelphia. I'm Philadelphia native. And when I was in high school, I went to an all-girls Catholic school. And there, the nuns in particular, wanted you to go to an all-women's Catholic college. Well, after 12 years of all-girls Catholic school, I was ready for a change. And community colleges were just coming into their own at that time. And I remember when I, and I tell this story often, when I said to my guidance counselor, this nun who was my guidance counselor, that I said, "Sister, I'm thinking about going to a community college." She said, "Oh, honey, you don't want to go there. That's all hippies and communists." And the next day, actually, I did sign up for Community College of Philadelphia. I said, I need a diverse type of education that I received a very good education, but I needed a change in life. I was at that point. I was a wild 17-year-old. So anyway, fast forward, I graduated from Community College of Philadelphia with my associate's degree. I transferred all my credits with my associate's degree to Penn State University. When I graduated from Penn State, I worked for a while, and then from there went on to get my master's and my doctorate. Well, you know, some things happen at community colleges that you don't expect. And in fact, I met my husband. He was in Spanish 101 with me, and we had to share a book because I was one of the students that you typically see at a community college. I was the oldest of six kids. I barely had enough money to get in to pay the community college tuition and fees. I didn't have the money that particular day to buy my Spanish book. So the teacher put my future husband and me together to share a Spanish book. And lo and behold, it's like that thunderbolt you hear, you know, love at first sight. So anyway, my husband, he also graduated from Community College of Philadelphia, and he transferred to the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school. Again, where all of his credits, except for one music course, transferred. So, you know, you hear this story about, well, were your credits transfer? Well, if you know what you're going to take and you know what you plan to, where you plan to transfer, and you work with your transfer counselor, as I did when I was at my community college, and we have transfer counselors helping students here, you will be able to transfer. So, and there's aid available for students that plan to transfer when they get to their transfer schools. So there are statewide agreements. So, you know, students should really think about starting at a community college. I'll tell you the truth. I think if I didn't, I wouldn't be where I am today. And it's made such an impact on me that my entire career, which is, you know, pretty long, has been spent entirely in community colleges, either as an administrator or as a faculty member. It's really, you know, the mission of the community college is very much aligned with my personal mission, which is a commitment and service to others. And that's why that alignment between my personal mission and the college's mission just fits hand in glove.
You know, and I do have to say that when I transferred from HEC to four-year school, one of my classes, they were looking at it and they were saying, well, if we were to transfer this class, it would have to be like a 300, 400 level class. So we're just going to put it as an elective because we can't really do that.
So there you go.
Absolutely. Everything transfers. And, you know, some of it is just, you know, might be an elective, but not because it doesn't qualify for 300, 400 level course.
Yeah.
You talked about your personal mission and the mission of the college. And I know that, you know, you've always said that you have this student-centered approach, right? And plus your personal experience. So, you know, taking those two things in consideration, you know, how does that shape, you know, the daily decisions that you're making for HEC?
Well, one of the things that is paramount in the decisions that are made is the question we asked ourselves. And that is, and when I say we, that's the president's team, when we're making decisions based on many times recommendations we've heard from others. How will this best serve students? That's the question. And an example of that is when we started the Laurel College Center in partnership with Prince George's Community College, and that's been actually going on for almost two decades, not that, probably closer to about 18 years. But anyway, that partnership is where it's a regional higher ed center. We have four-year partners also there, four-year institutions offering junior, senior year. Sometimes we've had doctoral programs offered there from Morgan State University. Anyway, when we first got that opportunity to work together in this facility in Laurel, here we had two different, we were both community colleges, but two different systems, two different approaches. And the president, the person at that time who I worked with was the current president, Charlene Dukes, a dear friend of mine. And she came from a student services background. And we would say, you know, because there'd be like, oh, we should do it the HCC way or the Prince George's Community College way. And we would say, wait a minute, what's the thing that's going to serve our students best? What's the thing that's going to make it seem like a seamless operation that they don't know it's two different schools? It's going to be a wonderful educational experience. Well, that's the same question that I, along with my team, ask every time we have to make a decision. What will serve our students best? Or if it has to do with employees, of course, what's going to help our employees? But that is the main driving force, because you go back to the college's mission statement, providing pathways to success, four little powerful words. And we always look at that. And we have to adjust sometimes, because if we say, well, it, you know, sounds like it's a good idea, but it's not going to help students, it's not going to serve students, we have to shift resources to make sure we do it. That's the driving force.
And, you know, I love what you said. You were talking and you said we have four-year partners. You use the word partners. And I think that as consumers maybe, or as parents, or as, you know, like I'm not there yet. I have 2 years to go before we start looking at schools for my daughter. And I'm really glad that she loves culinary and that's where she wants to go. So I'm, you know, really, really glad to know that HEC offers it here. And that's what we're looking at, quite honestly. And, you know, as an opportunity, maybe her starting her career here with culinary and then looking at, she wants to go to France to expand her education overseas. So, you know, that's kind of like the plan that we have right now in our mind. But anyways, you mentioned partnerships. And I know we talked about partners with our community. We mentioned the Community Action Council and other partners like that. But it's important to understand, I think, for parents and for students who are making the decisions, where do I go to school, that the schools work together, you know, that HCC, that it's not like, okay, I'm going to go to community college and then I'm going to go to this other venue over here that's a four-year school and they are separate and, you know, we'll see if I can transfer, as you were saying, or anything like that. All institutions work as partners. And that's something I had to learn when I first came to this country, because that's what I thought. That's what I understood. I understood, okay, if I go to college, community college first, then after I graduate from there, I will have to look at the four-year schools and decide where I want to go. Where in reality is, it's better if you think of your four-year education with that community college two-year plan as that threshold, I guess is the right word, that pushes you then to that four-year school to complete your education. And it's much more affordable. You're closer to home. To me, it was great that it was right here by my house. I didn't have to, you know, drive far away or look at the possibility of maybe moving. At that point, as I said, I had my family. So it was just really convenient in many, many, many ways to know that the school was here in my backyard, providing me great education and already working towards, you know, my goal of having my bachelor's my four-year degree, just making it more affordable. I think that that's really the smart way to do it. And in a setting that's more personal, more familiar, one thing I love about seeing at HEC when I go to my lunch break is the kids, you know, having a really great time, and who many times have shared with me, well, we are neighbors or we went to school together and, you know, we're still working here together, but life is different now. He's working here, I'm working there, and we just kind of catch up here during our lunch break and between our classes. So it's just an extension that allows for community even to grow and keep that sense of familiarity, you know, within the college. And it's times of graduation right now, right? School is coming to an end, and a lot of seniors in high schools are exactly making those decisions. And I think that those decisions right now are to be considered even more strongly in the times of COVID-19, where education, we don't know for how long, but it looks like it's going to be either online or some kind of hybrid model of online and you know, in classroom. So I do want to talk about that. And you know, I do want to maybe encourage, you know, graduating students and other community members who are looking to further education to look at Howard Community College. And I'd love for you, Kate, to talk to them right now and just, you know, let them know why they should consider coming to HCC.
Well, you know, I had spoken before about the resources that we have on campus to help students, and we have incredibly well-trained academic advisors who, for a student who, you know, sometimes students come to us and they're not sure. I'm glad to hear that your daughter knows that she wants to go into culinary, because we have an exceptional program here. And we do, we were supposed to have a study abroad program with culinary going to France this year, but unfortunately we had to, you know, cancel that. But there's so many opportunities for internships that students can get while, or apprenticeships while they're here. But the one thing that you mentioned that I also want to talk about is students, you know, if they're maybe ultimately want to go to, let's just say, University of Maryland College Park, and they want to major in, you know, I don't know, let's just say teacher education. You can work with the transfer advisor and the academic advisor here at HCC. We have what they call articulation agreements. In other words, that the courses you take here will transfer seamlessly to your four-year institution. And so with that resource of working with your advisor first, and then looking at where you want to go, you can be assured of you taking particular courses or program of study that that will transfer wholly. I think the other thing is, for some students, they know that they should be going to college, but they don't know what they want to do. That's very common. And I think a lot of seniors in high school feel pressure, like they have to know where they're going, what they're going to be studying, what they're going to do with the rest of their lives, and they're 17 years old. Well, that's like so bizarre, but you know what? We've all done that. What you're doing at 17 or 18 will not be what you're doing at even 40 or maybe even 30. So one of the things that I think they, you know, is so important for students is when they start to get well grounded in what, you know, they used to call the liberal arts or general education. Those courses and our general education courses provide those necessary skills that no matter what the job is on the horizon, you'll be prepared. Whether it's in your critical thinking skills, your quantitative, qualitative reasoning, your oral or written communications, your global competencies, those kinds of things, because the jobs that will be available after COVID-19, some of them may not be the same jobs. We don't know what they will be. But the great thing about community colleges is we work so closely with the business communities in our own area, our own counties or districts, that we know that these are what the needs are. So sometimes it's not necessarily even taking courses through credit programs. We have a whole area of the college, continuing education, workforce development, where we have short-term training programs. Right now we have apprenticeships that are available in a variety of fields. HVAC, for example, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration. We have classes in that. We have a partnership with AT&T for work in the IT field, which is really exciting. We're looking at biomedical engineering and working with businesses to provide those internships. Another program that I'm sure will just mushroom and continue to grow, I should say, is the certified nursing assistant. Short-term training programs. We need healthcare providers. And that's a nice stepping stone if you want to go into a licensed practical nurse program and then to the RN program that we offer to students. So there's, you know, could be in cybersecurity. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a college degree, although, you know, typically if you look at the research over a period of time, someone with a college degree is going to do much better than someone without. But for many students, it could be a certification that you need in a particular field. And the college ramps up whenever we see this need to make sure that we have those courses or programs available. You're going to need more than a high school education. That's very clear. I mean, you need to have a high school education nowadays to work at McDonald's. You know, that used to be the fallback for someone who dropped out of high school. Oh, I'll work at McDonald's. McDonald's isn't interested in hiring people without a high school diploma. So those are, that just gives you some kind of indication of the power and the value of an education. And it's different for different people. But the good thing about the college is if you're not quite sure what you want, you can talk to an advisor. And the advisor can walk you through what your areas of interest are. The valuable thing in all this, though, is that it's much better to begin at a community college when you don't know what you want to do, rather than having your mother and father spend $40,000 for you to go someplace else to figure out what you want to do. You can be a full-time student here at Community College of Howard Community College, I should say, and your tuition and fees for a full-time student averaging about $5,000 per year. That's a very reasonable cost.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing that I have to say from my personal experience, I remember, so I graduated from HEC, I moved to my four-year school, and I took my very first class, I think it was a history class, and suddenly I found myself in this huge classroom with like hundreds of people in it. I was overwhelmed. And I was, as I said, I was a non-traditional student, so I was, you know, I think I was a little more prepared than a 17-year-old would be to encounter a scenario like that. And I was really overwhelmed. And when I stepped into the classroom and I saw hundreds of people sitting with me, I was like, well, if I have a question or if I need to connect with my teacher, how is this going to work? So I looked back and I was like, I'm so glad I took all of my, you know, basic English and all of my basic math classes in a community college where it was, you know, usually the classes run around, I think, 30 people, no more than that, I don't think.
Our average is about 20 students. If you look at all the classes, about 20 students per class.
So if I had a question, I was able to just raise my hand and ask the question right there and get my answers. You know, the other thing that you mentioned, Kate, and I wanted to circle back and just give my testimony is that, the articulation agreements are there. So when I transferred to my school, I was able to get all of the classes required to apply for my school at HEC. So when I came and transferred into it, I came straight into my school. I didn't have to take, you know, none of the placement classes or remedial classes or anything like that. I took care of all of that at HEC, and it really made a lot of sense. That's when it really clicked for me. I was learning as I was going through it, and I quite honestly, I didn't understand what I was really doing until I went into my four-year school and everything transferred in, and I was a student in my career, not just, you know, kind of like in the wait list because you have to complete all of these requirements. If that makes any sense. So it's really important to understand how that process works and how really community colleges make a lot of sense. So for parents out there, if your child is somebody who struggles with the sciences and you know, with the maths and all of that, and wants to go into an arts career, well, there's going to be certain requirements that all of the classes, no matter what career you're going into, have. Why not take those at HEC where you really will have a smaller setting, you'll have a more personable approach, a more, it's not one-to-one education, but it really feels that way, you know, where your child really will have access to the teacher, will be able to just be in a safe environment, get those intimidating classes out of the way, and then transfer over to your four-year school with all of that taken care of, you know, to complete your degree. I mean, it just really makes a lot of sense, and I'm a huge advocate because it made a huge difference in my life. I don't think I would have been able to succeed as well as I did in my career had I not taken the classes first at a community college. It gave me the basis, it gave me a good foundation, and it empowered me to go and be like, okay, I'm ready. And even though I felt ready when I went into this classroom, I was like, okay, I know I have the right tools, but this is really a little too much.
But you know, Chris, you said something that's, it's so true. You're an A student when you transferred. You finished up as an A student. And community college students, community college graduates, this is a figure that has not changed over the years, that they do as well or better than when they transfer in as juniors typically, they do as well or better than students who started at that particular school as freshmen. That's pretty remarkable because you're making that transition. Sometimes that first semester, it's like, oh, okay, I'm getting used to the place, but you're gonna finish up strong if you start at a community college. Your GPA typically will be better than someone who started off at that four-year school as a freshman. So it just, that says something about the quality of teaching though too. And you know, some of the, you know, I've been through public institutions, private institutions, all the way up to my doctorate. And I have to say the best teachers I had throughout that whole period of time were the ones who taught me at the community college.
Yep, and I think it's part of that relationship that really allows to grow.
And the community college teachers, this is the other thing, they don't have to do this publish or perish. They're hired to be teachers. And that's their primary responsibility. So they don't have to take time off to do research. Now, some do. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good thing, but that's not their main job. Their main job is teaching. If you go to a place where you think, oh, here's some high profile people are going to be teaching here, you may or may not get taught by them. You might hear an occasional lecture, but sometimes you're going to be taught by a teaching assistant, not all the time. But I think that has, as I said, has a lot to do in the dedication that faculty have who work at a community college. The other thing that's interesting is that most of the students who attend a community college stay within their county or even within their state. I mean, if you look across the, you know, the state of Maryland, for example, about 80% of them stay in the state. So that's good for bringing that connection from the college to the community, generating revenue because the work in the community, they generate income tax revenue. So that's all, you know, that's why we're so much a part of the community. We're Howard County's college. There's no other community college, it's us. And so that's why that partnership piece is so important with our county government, with, you know, the hospital, like Howard County General Hospital. They hire so many of our graduates to work at the hospital, whether they're nurses or other healthcare providers. But we also work with MedStar hospitals. So, you know, it's in other health facilities throughout the region. So I always think it's fun when you go to a doctor's office or a hospital to ask someone, where did you get your credentials? And I always tell them the reason why. I said, well, you know, I'm from Howard Community College. I don't usually tell them my job, but when they tell me that they're a nurse, for example, who's graduated from HCC, I'm like, oh, I know I'm in good hands. Because our faculty are, they're good, they're tough. They're gonna make sure the students meet the requirements in order to graduate.
Absolutely. Now, Kate, we talked earlier about, you know, the ways in which we have supported those students who are already part of HCC. But for people who might be considering coming to HCC, you know, what are some of the incentives that they can expect to find when they come and apply at HCC?
Well, for one thing, I think one of the incentives is that you'll get personalized care when you come in. If you have any questions, I mean, for many students, it's going to be easy. They're going to go online. They're going to file the application. They're going to do everything. I mean, that's just second nature. They won't think twice about that. But for students or parents of students who have questions about the programs of study, if there's questions about the courses, about financial aid, that's often because we have about half of our students receive some type of financial aid. That's often the money question sometimes comes before the program. Like, can I afford to do this? And the answer is financial aid is available for those students who qualify. The other thing is, you know, they ask questions like you just brought up, like, you know, what's the size of these classes? There, many students, they think of college from what they've seen in the movies, the big lecture halls. And when they get here, they're almost shocked. You know, the best thing students can do is take a look at our website, because that has a lot of information about the college itself. And when we're post COVID-19, come to the campus, take a look at it. When, you know, you'll see the beauty of our campus. First of all, architecturally speaking, it's like one of the most beautiful parts of Howard County. And we're in the midst of building a new mathematics and athletics complex. And that is going to showcase the math that we have and all of our athletic programs. So that's on the horizon. That's being designed right now. So that, and then, you know, all the other things that I mentioned. We have an incredible arts area, cultural area of the college. Many students are attracted to things like theater, you know, or speech classes, or making connections through student clubs. And so, you know, I think taking a good look at the website is really informative, because you get to see about the college, which is easier to do right now since we're doing so much remotely. But we have humans, they're humans on the other ends of the phone who can answer any question, and they're more than happy to do that. So I think those are the big things that people are looking at. You know, what kind of programs you have, will they transfer? If I'm planning to go to UMBC, you know, our three big transfer schools are UMBC, University of Maryland College Park, and Towson. But students go, quite frankly, all over, but those are the three. So we have very good programs where you can take those credits that you have here and transfer. And then take a look at what we're offering too through our continuing education workforce development. That might be something that could interest students as well.
Kate, now looking into summer and beyond, and you know, with everything that continues to change and COVID-19 and how it continues to affect and really dictate what we do, what are some of the plans? You know, how is HCC planning to continue to just offer the same quality education and adapt as things continue to move?
Well, in terms of offering the same quality education, we continue to do professional development for our faculty to make sure that they're offering exciting courses that meet the learning outcomes that they've met before. You know, there's every, you know, if you look at the course, they have expected outcomes that you'll have certain skills ready to move on to the next course, or, you know, in terms of our career and technical school education, rather. The training that you need to move on. So, you know, that I think is something that we have to be mindful of, that our faculty, it's not like they're one and done. They got trained to do remote and that's it. No, they continue to receive training so they know the best way to deliver the classes to the students. So that's happening. What we did is originally we thought we were going to be able to offer some of our Con Ed, which are more face-to-face classes, like our kids on campus. We were hopeful, but that, you know, with everything that's happened, we follow the guidance, of course, of the governor and our county in terms of the health department. That did not happen. So everything that we have for summer offerings is now being done remotely. That means we can't offer everything that we had originally planned. For fall, we have not made a final decision. But the way it's tracking is more than likely we will be offering our classes remotely. We'll have to see whether or not we can offer if, it, you know, I'm just thinking of some other types of classes that typically would be face-to-face. That will be highly dependent on the guidance that we get, not only from the state, but also from the county. Because as you heard yesterday from our governor, the counties are doing things for what's best for them. They will make those decisions. So right now, you know, the decision has not been finalized, but the as I mentioned, I was on this webinar with the Maryland Higher Education Commission, but they also had Clifford Mitchell from the Maryland Health Department talking about the implications. And quite frankly, we don't know all the answers yet. So it remains to be seen. We are preparing as though we'll be fully remote if we have to adjust. One thing we've learned during this crisis is that we've learned how to pivot. So, but there's a lot of implications if we were to offer some classes, even remotely, and that has to do with social distancing, safety, the things that you have to do in terms of keeping the clean campus, surveying people that are on campus. It's extremely complicated. So the last thing we heard today from the state representatives was, as much as you can, no matter what happens, continue to offer whatever you're doing remotely, because we don't have a vaccine. You know, we don't have anything different than before. What we're doing is we're looking at data. So that's where we are at this point in time.
And, you know, I really appreciate you being so honest and open about that and saying we really don't have all the answers and it is extremely difficult to navigate all of this, because I think that sometimes we forget and, you know, we are looking at it from the perspective of, okay, well, I have my family, we're numbered, you know, we're four. If I make this decision, then I know exactly how it's going to affect everybody, right? We forget that when you're Kate Hetherington, the president of Howard Community College, the decision that you make is not affecting just four people, it's affecting, you know, thousands of students, thousands of people.
It is thousands. So, we have 30,000 students at the college and over 2,700 employees, full-time and part-time. It's a lot of people. And then Right. Their families, all the families. So when you look at that, it's, you know, tens of thousands.
Right. So it's important to stay flexible. It's important to acknowledge that. As I love that you said earlier, you know, when you look at the website, know that behind that there's humans, you know, that there's people out there really trying their best, you know, gathering all of this information. As you said at the beginning of our conversation, it almost sounds like once I get the answer, the question has already changed.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what's happening.
So it's you know, I just want to remind everybody that it is important to stay flexible and understand that, you know, Kate and you know, everybody else really is who is at a position of I guess power, we can call it. It's really making the best decisions, yeah. Trying to have everybody's best interest at heart. And we just take the data, as you said, we take the numbers, and based on that, you guys say, I think this is what's going to keep everybody safe at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that, you know, because going back to the parents, I think this is an unprecedented time, yes, for everybody, but for parents of graduating high schoolers, I think this is extremely important, you know, because as they are making those decisions, before, yes, you could say, okay, we're going to send you over to another state and, you know, incurring all of those expenses. And you knew how it was going to work. Pretty much you had a clear idea. Right now, there's no clarity on that. So I'd love for you to talk to those parents who are trying to make those decisions and, you know, tell them why really it's a good time to make that consideration. If it was not something that you had considered before to keep your kids here locally at home with you, why right now during the times of COVID-19, it really makes a lot of sense to just keep your kids home right now.
Well, you know, I just recently wrote a letter to the editor of the Baltimore Sun and they picked it up the next day. I was shocked. And what spurred me on to write this letter was that a young man had been accepted at a college in Pennsylvania. And he received, I think he was on a baseball scholarship. And he said, you know, why should I, what he said was something along the lines, why should I spend $20,000 to go someplace where I can't play ball? I guess that was the implication, because he couldn't. But also his classes were going to be offered online. He said, I should just go to my local community college. And so taking his quote, I wrote a letter to the editor about the value of the community colleges and as a starting point for students. And, you know, we keep hearing things about what will happen in the fall, about the possibility of a second wave that might be even worse than this. And I think some parents already had the experience that had college students where they had to pretty much evacuate dorm rooms at like such a quick, with such a little time and so just do it so quickly. And, you know, as a parent, if I had to think about putting my child on a plane right now to go to some school, I couldn't even imagine that. And then, you know, some schools are looking at doing face-to-face and, you know, they have to think about that because they're in survival mode. Whereas, you know, of course, with the college, we're always mindful of, you know, being good stewards of the funds that are given to us through our county and state and, of course, students' tuition. But our mode is excellence. Our mode is doing the best that we can. Our mode is really providing top quality education, no matter what the modality is. If it's offered remotely, face-to-face, hybrid, we will focus on giving an excellent education. So I think that's what parents have to think about. Yes, you will save tens of thousands of dollars compared to sending your child to a four-year institution. But the thing is that we will offer the best quality education and all the supportive services that go along with that. It may be remote, and then we'll help your child if maybe your child's thinking, well, I'll start out at HCC, do my English, do my math, do my, you know, social sciences, whatever. And then I want to transfer after that. We have transfer counselors that can help students prepare. Maybe, you know, a student might not want to do their whole degree with us. That's okay too. I mean, it's up to the student, but if at least they get a start, because some students are thinking about gap years. And let me tell you about taking a gap year. Usually you're doing something on that gap year. You might be doing travel. You might be doing service learning. You might be doing, you know, doing a job or just taking a time off between high school and college. And I'm suggesting that's time lost right now because you can't do all those other things you're able to do. So why not take advantage of this time, get out of your parents' hair and focus on your studies and get jump started into your college education. It's the smartest thing that not only young people can do, but also their families.
And you know, you mentioned earlier study abroad. So for kids who might want to travel, you know, that's an opportunity and you will do your traveling, but you also be completing credits, you know, towards your career. I mean, accelerating because I know it took me long enough to graduate and I was so ready to just graduate from college when I finished. I was one of those kids who, you know, started school, took a break, started again. When I started again, my situation had changed. So I had to start taking just one class at a time. And I just dragged it much, much longer. So the more you wait, really, the longer it's going to take for you to finish it. So take advantage. You know, I love what Kate said, you know, start taking a couple classes at community college, start exploring, you know, your interests or exploring your ideas. Look at if service is something that you're interested in, you know, HCC offers great, great classes and great opportunities to just go in and do, you know, spring break, alternative spring breaks and things like that. And I know that this is all changing and I know that this is all, you know, what we had before and will continue to adapt and evolve as COVID-19 continues to be present with us. But these are real opportunities that a community college here offers in an affordable way that will still continue to propel you towards, you know, your career goals. We're running out of time, Kate, but is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap our conversation up today?
Well, Chris, first of all, I want to thank you. You're such a good interviewer and you make it so easy. So thank you so much for that. And just for everyone to stay safe and be kind to one another. I know this can be tough at times. I was saying to my husband, I said, you know, a lot of people are complaining about being cooped up with, you know, family member, kids, whatever. And when we're able to go back, we're probably going to say, geez, I miss all that time we had together. So I don't think we're ever satisfied. But, you know, appreciate this time that you have with each other. It's going to be special, especially for people who have children. I think kids are loving it. I really do. Some things that some kids are loving having this opportunity to be with their parents. So, but thank you, Chris. Thank you. And I hope that people will think about HCC when they're thinking about where they or their children will be going this fall.
Absolutely. And thank you, Kate, for your time. I thank everybody for listening and watching. To get more information, you can go to howardcc.edu. That's where you can find all of the programs and all of the information on our college, you know, non-credit classes, credit classes, ESL. I mean, everything, it's still up and running. So just go and explore our website. And if you have questions, as Kate said, send an email, call, because all of us humans are still behind all of those emails and all of those phone numbers, ready to help you, ready to serve you, ready to really attain your career goals. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will be back on Monday. Until then, be well.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.